It is time, so we would like to start the presentation of the Toshiba Next Plan Progress Report and FY 2019 business results. As we have already announced, we have the online live streaming today. Regarding the questions, we will be soliciting questions from the people who have registered in advance. I would like to introduce the speakers. We have Mr. Nobuaki Kurumatani, Representative Executive Officer, President, and CEO. We have Masaharu Kamo, Executive Officer, Corporate Senior Vice President in terms of management and strategy, as well as planning. Now, I would like to call upon Mr. Kurumatani to give the presentation.
Hello, everybody. This is Kurumatani. The Japanese government lifted the declaration of emergency on May 25th, but we in Toshiba Group is still continuing our measures against the COVID-19 outbreak for some time to come. So please do allow us to have the session online. Hope you understand this. Now, I will explain the performance and our growth strategy based upon the materials. Would you please turn to page three? I would like to follow the agenda, and as you've seen, I would like to cover those five points. Page four. First, FY 2019 full year earnings. Please turn to page five. A summary of the FY 2019 consolidated results are shown here. We achieved net sales of 3.4 trillion yen and operating income of 130.5 billion yen. COVID-19 had an impact of about 50 billion yen on net sales and approximately 20 billion yen on operating income. Excluding the COVID-19 impact, operating income exceeded 150 billion yen, which also exceeds the Toshiba Next Plan target for the first year. Core operating income, which excludes the impact of COVID-19 and one-time expenses such as restructuring, doubled compared to FY 2018, exceeding JPY 160 billion. We are so happy to report this to you. Page six, please. This shows the fourth quarter actual FY 2019. We achieved net sales about 930 billion yen. Operating income increased significantly to 68 billion yen. Page seven, please. Factors causing changes in operating income from FY 2018 to FY 2019 are shown here. Core operating income exceeded 160 billion yen in FY 2019 due to basic measures to improve profitability, which were focused upon structural reforms and procurement reforms. On the other hand, we recorded 10.8 billion yen in restructuring charges, rather, due to proactive restructuring efforts aimed at improving our earnings structure, mainly in the semiconductor business, where sales decreased due to the trade frictions between China and the United States. The impact of COVID-19 amounted to 20.3 billion yen. Details are provided in the next slide. Page eight, please. Details of the impact of COVID-19 on FY 2019 are shown here. Approximately 70% of 20.3 billion yen total impact resulted from delays to FY 2020 relating to installation of semiconductor manufacturing equipment for China market, nuclear, and elevators and air conditioning. Next, page nine. This shows us the free cash flows. In FY19, operating cash flow was minus 142.1 billion yen. But as you know, this operating cash flow, excluding one-time factors such as LNG sales and improved subcontracting terms and conditions, was 59.8 billion yen positive side. Cash and cash equivalents at the end of fiscal year amounted to 377 billion yen. When excluding operating lease obligations, our net cash position remained eventually positive. Page 10, please. In this page, number one, I would like to introduce our achievements and for the first year of the Toshiba Next Plan. Page 11, please. This shows the review of the past the 18 months. Since the announcement of Toshiba Next Plan in November 2018, we have focused on the four reforms to improve our core earnings power. This is the very first phase one. In addition, we carefully considered market opinions and engaged in additional measures under the leadership of the new board, including the privatization of the three listed subsidiaries, sale of non-business assets, clarification of an exit criterion for monitored businesses, and a further review of executive compensation. We will further continue our activities to improve our core earnings power going forward. We will also plan specific action items for the Toshiba Next Plan Phase 2, as we believe now we should accelerate our initiatives aimed at further growth in order to maximize corporate value and to enhance TSL on the midterm and long-term basis. Page 12, please. This shows the menu of items in the Toshiba Next Plan we announced back in November 2018. Following our interim updates in last November, we would like to report on our progress for the past 6 months. From this page onward, and I would like to go through details, and I believe that we have achieved in our targets on general terms. Page 18, this shows the summary of the CFT activities. We implemented over 15,000 procurement and sales reforms throughout the company, achieving a significant pure contribution of 80.9 billion yen to FY19 results when combined with the structural reforms. We will further expand in the scope of our activities and through new initiatives, including engineering reforms and reviews of supply chains and make or buy decisions. Page 14, please. Non-core business, LNG business, and overseas nuclear power construction stations are explained here. We completed a complete exit from those activities. We also eliminated 64 subsidiaries, achieving 70% progress toward our target of 25% reduction in subsidiaries. In the very first year, we also completed the reorganization of four production bases, including Numazu factory of Toshiba Lighting and Technology Corporation. Process reforms such as modularization and IT process renewal are also moving steadily forward. Page 15. This is looking at asset-light initiatives we are working on. We divested functional subsidiaries and real estate in addition to listed shares in FY19. Earlier, I made reference to the Toshiba Logistics and others. We executed divestment totaling approximately, in terms of the cash value, 46 billion yen. We will continue to sell off non-business assets in line with our strong focus upon efficient capital management. This slide shows, page 16 shows the trends in the marginal profit ratio and the fixed costs based on core operating income. Marginal profit ratio improved significantly compared to FY18, while fixed costs decreased sharply as a result of various efforts in the Toshiba Next Plan Phase 1. I believe it would be safe to say that we have achieved steady progress to date in the Toshiba Next Plan Phase 1. We will further accelerate our initiatives toward FY20 in order to pursue an even stronger earnings structure. Page 17, please. This is our policy for monitored business, which was announced last November last year. We are adhering strictly to the new ROS 5% exit rule. As our objective is to determine the true capabilities of each business, we plan to exclude the impact of COVID-19 in our evaluations during this fiscal year. However, that said, COVID-19 will not stop us from continuing our portfolio reforms. Yes, we'd like to go for this as surely as possible. Page 18, our policy for the monitored businesses is shown here. Businesses are designated as monitored business based upon either of two criteria. First, FY19 performance satisfies the Toshiba Next Plan target, and second being FY20 plan satisfies the ROS 5% rule. So either one of these conditions are applicable, definitely the companies are going to be under the monitoring operations. These businesses are monitored in a detailed manner by establishing important business milestones, including orders received, development of new products, and customer approval of such new products, in addition to operating income. For the thermal power business, we are shifting our resources from new construction to service operations as planned, leading to improved performance, including positive profits in FY19. On the other hand, we will carry out additional structural reforms, primarily overseas during the current period, as the monitoring standards for FY19 and FY20 were not met. As for the system LSI, we expected to meet the monitoring standards in FY20 after withdrawing from logic LSI and reducing fixed costs in FY19. However, considering the intensified U.S.-China trade friction and the post-COVID-19 market environment for our focus areas, such as automotives, we believe these factors will have more than a temporary impact, requiring further in-depth consideration. We will announce our plans in this area as soon as they are finalized. With respect to HDDs, the shift from mobile devices to nearline HDDs for data centers is progressing as planned. Performance is also improving, and we expect to be able to meet the monitoring standards in FY20. However, as the results in FY19 fell slightly short of the plan, we will continue monitoring of the HDD business in FY20. In the industrial motors business, profitability has improved thanks to a shift to highly efficient models and the review of the production system. Since standards were met in both FY19 and FY20, the business has been removed from the monitoring list. In the printing business, we will closely monitor Toshiba Tech's structural reforms and discuss necessary measures from the perspective of Toshiba Group's business portfolio strategy. Page 19, please. This shows the PMI, post-merger integration status for the three companies privatized in January through March. Working teams aimed at maximizing synergies have been established with the responsible divisions and specific initiatives have been launched. With Toshiba Plant Systems and Services, we plan to achieve a fixed cost reduction of 0.6 billion yen through the IT systems integration, in addition to reducing cost of goods through the joint procurement. A joint development team of 180 members is developing a next-generation multi-beam mask drawing device, which is a pressing issue for nuclear technology. We aim to begin shipments within the fiscal year. In addition to sharing project information with Nishishiba Electric, we are promoting horizontal expansion of know-how relating to the procurement and other CFD activities. Page 20, please. One-time restructuring costs are being incurred as we are in the middle of a turnaround process. With this point in mind, the core operating income is therefore an important indicator for management decisions, which objectively demonstrates the extent of recovery in the true earnings power of the business. Definitely would like to give the importance to this among the directors. We plan to steadily build up a core operating income to achieve the targets set out in Toshiba Next Plan for FY 2021. Page 21 shows a list of actions aimed at increasing TSL taken to date. As I have explained several times, we consider TSL to be an important medium to the long-term indicator because it comprehensively and objectively reflects the results of our corporate activities from the perspective of our shareholders. With respect to the recent decline in our stock price, we regret that our efforts to enhance enterprise value and to enhance awareness in the capital markets have not led to a recovery to date. We will do our best to promote market understanding of our future enterprise value potential through disclosures of new business segment and specific actions based upon our growth strategy, which will be explained in later slides. I hope you understand at this point. Page 22. This explains our application for the listing on the first section of the stock markets. Since 2015, Toshiba Group has continued to make corporate-wide improvements and to strengthen our internal control system. We plan to further step up our efforts going forward. We will continue our efforts to be recognized as a company that deserves to be listed in the first section of the stock markets, including those aimed at improving our corporate culture. Page 10-3. This is explaining the efforts and how we are conducting for growth in phase 2. So far, we have made our efforts in order to further improve the earnings capacity. I believe that we are enjoying visible results so far. With the expansion of the COVID-19, it's very important for us to carefully assess the impact from the outbreak. But again, we would like to start moving on the detailed activities on the phase 2 for the Toshiba Next Plan. In particular, our key themes for enterprise value maximization include resource allocation to growing areas, proactive investment and programmatic M&A, company-wide reorganization to support growth, and securing growth and capital through a review of our financial strategy. We strongly believe that they are very important themes and for them to be engaged in. We would like to formulate a concrete the roadmap so that we can share it with you in November this year, 2020.
Page 24 summarizes our capital policy and shareholder returns. While our policy remains unchanged from the announcement in last November, we would like to place a priority on financial stability in light of COVID-19 and the risk of a second wave of infection. If the situation seems to be under control in the fall, we would like to consider more aggressive capital allocation, including shareholder returns and growth investment. While we cannot make specific comments on Kioxia at this time, we will pursue an optimal course of action to maximize shareholder value. Please turn to page 25. We target core operating income of 220 billion yen in FY 2020 through further efforts to strengthen our basic earnings capabilities. Aside from additional structural reforms, we expect the COVID-19 to have a negative impact of 90 billion yen. Our current operating income forecast is 110 billion yen. The anticipated timing of COVID-19 impact is also shown in the slide. You see that in April and June, there is a major impact, and there will be mid to long-term impact in the second half. The impact in the second half may be smaller than currently anticipated, depending on the extent of economic recovery going forward. On the other hand, if the impact is as anticipated, we may report an operating loss of 10 to 20 billion yen in the first half of the fiscal year. Regarding Toshiba Group, we have about 1/3 to 40% of the operating income in the first half and the remaining 60% in the second half. If the impact is big in the first half, the numbers as indicated over here will be recognized. From page 26, I will talk about compliance-related matters. Please turn to page 27. This shows about TSE fictitious transaction. On behalf of Toshiba, I would like to take this opportunity to apologize to our shareholders, investors, and other stakeholders for the fictitious transactions at Toshiba IT Service. We deeply regret this occurrence, especially as we have positioned internal control as one of our highest management priorities since the accounting problem. Outline of the case. We confirmed 24 fictitious circular transactions during the 4 years between 2015 and 2019. This case originated from a sales representative at a business partner company A. While there is no evidence that Mr. X, a sales manager at TSE, had knowledge of the fictitious nature of the transactions, we recognize that our ability to supervise and prevent its occurrence was insufficient. I have given top priority to this matter since it was reported to me. Also, numerous discussions were held at the board of directors meetings. In this investigation, we conducted forensic research, interviews with related parties, and exhaustively examined the evidence under the instruction of external experts, such as attorneys and accountants. On a timely basis, we will disclose the findings. Several reasons can be raised for our failure to discover the transactions for several years, including the existence of normal transactions with the business partner, no problems in the settlement of transactions, and the preparation of vouchers and other relevant documents which appeared valid. We decided on severe punitive action, second only to disciplinary dismissal for Mr. X. We have reversed approximately 1.8 billion yen in total of operating income. In response, we have announced measures to prevent recurrence, such as prohibiting direct shipments of non-value-added products other than proprietary items, and reviewing personnel rotations and evaluation systems to prevent over-dependence on specific personnel for any given task. Please turn to page 28. Toshiba has been earnestly dealing with internal control enhancement since the accounting fraud scandal in 2015. Needless to say, we have positioned the strengthening of internal control as a top management priority, implementing various preventive measures aimed at improving management policies, understanding and awareness of legal compliance, management decision-making and process, accounting processes, disclosure, and subsidiary oversight, because these issues have been discovered at different subsidiary companies. And so, as I have mentioned right now, we have already implemented various countermeasures. However, I believe that the measures to be taken should still be strengthened in light of this incident, and I intend to further improve the internal control system by strengthening the three-line defense system as described in the next slide. In addition, we intend to implement measures addressing the root cause of fraudulent incidents such as corporate culture innovation, IT system modernization, and establishment of the Compliance Advisory Committee. Please turn to page 29. This slide shows the enhancement of three-line defense against fraud risk. We believe it is not only necessary to continue our initiatives today, but also to further reinforce our internal control structure. We will therefore implement initiatives to strengthen all three lines of defense. First and foremost, we believe it is important for top management to talk about the importance of compliance and to disseminate it throughout the working level, including myself and Mr. Tsunakawa, and also the executives of the headquarters. When visiting different offices, we have been repeatedly mentioned about the importance of compliance, and we will continue this effort in a full-fledged manner. In addition, we implemented a personnel system that places importance on behavioral evaluations, and we will also increase education spending to foster compliance awareness and to promote stronger awareness of the whistleblowing system. As a lesson learned from DSC, we believe it is necessary to make regular personnel rotations mandatory and prevent over-dependence on specific personnel for any given task. We intend to further fully implement these measures as well. Now, about the second line. This will be the administrative division-related defense. Functions such as financial accounting and procurement, which serve to monitor operations, have been repositioned to report to the corporate division to separate them from business operations so that we can have a stronger check and balance mechanism. This has already been implemented for the five divisions listed here. We will also improve our data collection functions, prevent human errors, and achieve visualization by introducing a new risk management system and introducing the next generation mission critical system. As mentioned before, in addition, we will continue to work to strengthen group governance by reducing the number of subsidiaries as set forth in the next plan. And I have talked about the importance of this ever since day one, and we will try to further reduce the number of subsidiaries so we will be able to strengthen group governance. Lastly, about the third line. And this is the strengthening of auditing functions. In addition to strengthening the check and balance function by establishing a compliance advisory meeting with external experts in cooperation with the compliance committee, which had been conventionally held on the executive side, we will strengthen our ability to detect fraud risks by increasing headcount and by strengthening coordination with corporate auditors. At the Toshiba Group, we uphold the policy of placing the highest priority on life safety and compliance. And of course, these are important more than the business. And this is the very policy that we pursue. I believe that compliance is an endless journey. I have reconfirmed my awareness that the events like the recent scandal can destroy everything we have built up as a group in a single moment. I am determined to take the lead in fully implementing measures to prevent its recurrence and to further strengthening our corporate governance. From page 30, I will explain about countermeasures against COVID-19 and our resilience as a company. Please turn to page 31. This shows Toshiba Group's COVID-19 countermeasures. We created a COVID-19 team and declared an internal state of emergency in February, implementing company-wide countermeasures from two perspectives: one, business continuity and fulfillment of social responsibilities, and two, securing the safety of employees and the society. Page 32 shows about the operational status. Due to lockdown in some countries such as India and early shutdowns at domestic facilities, the number of locations in full operation dropped to 30% in the end of April. This figure recovered to 90% by the end of May. The impact of delayed parts procurement is also expected to normalize by the end of this month and expected to recover to 100% full operation. Please turn to page 33. This is a review of the past, especially focusing on the impact of the global financial crisis from 2007 and 2008, and it shows what kind of impact there was on Toshiba. While the impact on company's total sales was 12%, and that of the current businesses that we have right now was approximately 9%, which means that the other businesses had about 16% impact. We believe that our organization has become relatively resilient as the share of the infrastructure business within our portfolio has increased since then. Please turn to page 34. The left-hand side is a preliminary estimate of the impact of COVID-19 in FY 2020, shown to be 90 billion yen in a previous slide. This shows different assumptions. We assumed that manufacturing operations would recover in April in China and in June or July in Europe and Asia. On the other hand, we expect the fall in global demand will continue for, unfortunately, more than 1 year, and this is the conservative outlook that we have. We do not anticipate the significant fluctuations of FX, which were seen in the global financial crisis. In addition, the second wave of COVID-19 infection is assumed to have a limited impact. The current status of orders received is shown on the right-hand side. Fortunately, even after COVID-19, between January and March, when the market was in a confusion, orders for the four infrastructure-oriented companies increased by 14% year-on-year. The impact from a decrease in orders due to COVID-19 was relatively small, falling short of 10 billion yen. Please turn to 35. So given the factor, what is our liquidity? In the end of March, cash and cash equivalents total 377 billion yen and commitment line of credit total 258 billion yen. Additionally, funding of 150 billion yen was raised in April. As a result, In preparation for unexpected contingencies, the company has temporarily secured sufficient liquidity on hand, which exceeds 2 months' worth of consolidated sales. Please turn to page 36. This shows the countermeasures for the safety of employees and the society. In mid-April, we had all employees work from home if at all possible. In the latter half of April, after the emergency declaration, when the risk of infection was highest, we reduced the percentage of employees physically commuting to work to just under 20%. In addition, we changed the holiday calendar and reduced the number of working days in April. We also changed the financial reporting schedule, placing a priority on minimizing the risk of infection. We are considering flexible hours without a core working time and a modified working hour system in anticipation of possible prolonged effects of COVID-19. And we announced today, but from the perspective of a social contribution, we decided to cooperate in the production of antigen testing kits. As you can see, we have been preparing for the worst-case scenario and have been implementing unprecedented life protection and measures against COVID-19. Please turn to page 37. This shows how we are reinforcing sustainability activities. We believe that we should be resilient to changes in the external environment and strive to be a truly sustainable company from a longer-term perspective. We also believe that this will lead to an increase in corporate value over the long term. We will also formulate business plans to achieve the target of less than 2 degree centigrade increase in temperature, which has been identified as an increase as an issue, rather, by many institutional investors and acquire SBT certification by the end of this fiscal year. I would like to report on any progress in these initiatives in a timely manner going forward.
We now explain further steps to maximize corporate value and enhance total shareholder return in our transformation towards an infrastructure service company. Page 39 shows a conceptual illustration of Toshiba Group's new segments. Currently, as shown on the left, our business is divided into nearly 20 business units, with operations mainly broken down by industry. The content of each business can be broadly classified into 4 categories, as shown on the right-hand side. From the bottom, these 4 categories are devices, products, infrastructure systems, installation, infrastructure services for the installed infrastructure systems, and data services. So those are the 4 segments or categories. Page 40 shows the positioning and the policies of each functional segments. Devices and products mainly manufacture and sell products which are widely incorporated into infrastructure equipment and systems, such as semiconductors and motors. We aim to secure steady profits by focusing on areas where Toshiba can leverage its differentiating technological strength. Infrastructure systems, or installation of the systems, is a business that focuses on constructing the initial framework of various infrastructures. Although we faced temporary difficulty with losses reported in large-scale overseas projects, we will strive, or since I became a leader, we have been striving to improve the profitability by strengthening the project management, the selection and focus of the businesses, and reducing fixed costs. The third, infrastructure services, are the core business for Toshiba today. In the future, we plan to expand the infrastructure targeted for services and to leverage data to increase convenience and added value. Data services will become the core pillar of Toshiba's earnings 3 to 5 years from now. We will begin to organize data generated by the O&M of infrastructure services and activities so that they can be translated into added value. This is our first step toward becoming an infrastructure services company that takes full advantage of CPS technology. Page 41 illustrates synergies between each functions. First, devices, products possesses differentiated hardware and software, which will strengthen the competitiveness of infrastructure system. The expansion of infrastructure system will lead to the expansion of infrastructure services locations. By delegating responsibility for long-term customer relationships and O&M in infrastructure services, we will be able to process operational data, which will lead to the expansion of data services. As the number of the data services grows, the use of data can improve the operational quality and efficiency of infrastructure services. In addition, by feeding this information back to the devices, products, and infrastructure systems, we're able to complete the loop of synergies that will lead to the development of more differentiated products. Infrastructure services are in the middle of this loop. Toshiba Group will move away from a General Electric company model, which was simply a collection of product-oriented business units. Through this synergy loop, we will drastically change the profit structure of each segment as an infrastructure services company. Page 42, characteristics of infrastructure services are shown here. To reiterate on our long-term relationships with customers, service periods, for example, for electric products, for railway vehicles and elevators, generally exceed 30 years, while service products for turbine equipment for power generation and monitoring and control equipment for water supply and storage system last 40 to 60 years. Those are captive-type services. An example of water purification plant is shown at the upper right quadrant. For facilities with the useful life of about 60 years, equipment renewal takes place every 10 to 15 years, and maintenance and inspection are carried out over 1 to 3 year cycle. The elevator business has an overwhelmingly long maintenance service period, even when compared to other specialized manufacturers, creating stable cash flow which justify an EV per EBITDA multiple of over 10 times. While not as well known as the elevator business, equipment delivered to water supply and storage systems and power plants generally has an even longer service life period for elevators. Toshiba Group has a track record of providing long-term support for the stable operation of those important social infrastructures throughout the long product life cycles. On the left-hand side of page 43 shows approximate sales and profits of the new function-based segments. As you can see, infrastructure services generated approximately 70% of the total profits in fiscal 2019. The graph on the right-hand side shows the extremely stable performance of infrastructure services over the last 3 years. It's stable and it's on the rise. In Japan, the market of renewal of aging facilities and other infrastructure maintenance is approximately 5 trillion yen and is forecast to grow at approximately 5% per year. In the post-COVID new normal world, remote monitoring using ICT technology and automatic maintenance using robots are expected to expand rapidly. We believe that securing a reliable flow of services in this expanding market holds the key to creating significant enterprise value. The data services business, currently in a startup phase, is believed to be an extremely promising segment with potential EBITDA margins as high as 50 to 60%. Page 44, methods for securing further growth in infrastructure services are presented here. We have identified three methods for expanding service locations. These new methods are to create new infrastructure systems, taking orders for infrastructure services as an independent service, and programmatic M&A. Programmatic M&A involves conducting multiple M&A deals, scaling from a few to tens of billions of yen per year to supplement functions that are lacking or to acquire a new customer base. We will leverage proceeds from the asset sales and others to fund such growth investments. In addition, capital investment and R&D investment will naturally be revised in line with our strategic direction. Over the next 6 months, we will meet with each business manager to conduct detailed reviews of our strategy for expanding infrastructure services. Page 45 shows our efforts to expand and to make the infrastructure services more advanced. We prepare a website with our B2B service menu, as well as a framework for convenient use, similar to the App Store on your smartphone. We have developed 12 service menus designed to meet various customer needs. This is an example of the energy app. So this slide shows an example of the energy services. Others include failure prediction and remote monitoring for railway, building, logistics, and manufacturing companies. We aim to achieve rapid commercialization and global development. Page 46 shows the development and creation of new demand by utilizing data. We provide examples of the value added using data on personal activities. Toshiba Data Corporation was established in February to accelerate the commercialization of this area. Partners who share our vision and wish to collaborate with us are increasing rapidly. Page 47, here are some examples of devices and products which support Toshiba's differentiation. SCIB batteries' unique features are proved and adopted by many car and bus manufacturers in Japan and many other countries. Its use has been expanded beyond cars and buses to boats and hybrid locomotives. Page 48 covers precision medicine. Toshiba is developing several products with significant potential in order to develop the field of oncology into one of Toshiba's main businesses within 5 years. Japonica Array is a genome analysis tool. We achieved consent from more than 90% of the target 10,000 Toshiba employees to utilize their data as test data. We have almost achieved a target in doing so. We will also promote the proposal of effective solutions for prevention of lifestyle-related diseases by coordinating analysis with medical examination data. MicroRNA is a technique that can detect 13 types of cancer with a drop of blood with 99% accuracy. We plan to begin a pilot trial for this disruptive technology for early cancer detection in the near future, targeting 1,000 people. The biodegradable liposome is a technology relating to gene therapy for cancer. We co-developed the cancer-oriented liposome technology with Hsinchu University, which enables accurate and high-efficiency transport of therapeutic cells to target cancer cells. We have received several inquiries for our heavy ion radiotherapy equipment in response to rising demand for cancer treatment and are working on achieving orders. Page 49 covers quantum key distribution. We are participating in tests and demonstrations in the UK, US, and other countries to validate its utility. In Japan, we are about to start a proof-of-concept study in multiple locations in Tokyo. The market size is expected to expand to 2.2 trillion yen. We accelerate the commercialization, aiming to become the de facto global standard. Page 50 shows areas with high expectations for commercialization going forward. The simulated bifurcation machine selects the optimum answer from countless alternatives instantaneously. We are already in discussions with several financial institutions regarding its commercialization. We succeeded in enhancing overall power generation efficiency with tandem solar cell, which superimpose solar cells with different characteristics. We believe the use of highly efficient solar cell batteries will expand rapidly with the electrification of cars and buses, as well as the increased use of drones. Consistent with our philosophy that is committed to people, committed to the future, we will continue to proactively develop cutting-edge technologies which enriches personal lives. That is our meaning of our existence as a company. Page 51 is the last slide. Toshiba intends to break away from so-called General Electric Company model, which is merely a collection of conventional product-oriented business units, and to achieve significant enterprise value by transforming into the infrastructure services company. Each of the new function-based segments generates significant synergies through interactions with all other segments. While I was only able to provide an outline of Toshiba Next Plan Phase 2, I'd like to present a concrete plan in November. I'm sure we will not disappoint you. Thank you very much indeed for your attention.
Next, for FY 2019 consolidated business results, as well as the supplementary materials for the FY 2020 forecast. The presenter here is Mr. Kamo. Thank you. My name is Kamo. I'm Executive Officer and Corporate Senior Vice President, and I am now in charge of the IR. If I may, I'd like to be given 10 minutes, and here now I'd like to go through the highlights of the FY 2019 as well as the FY 2020 numbers. Mr. Kurumatani actually has given you details, and so my presentation is going to be kind of the backup, and as well as the, I'd like to particularly expand on the changes we are having nowadays. And that said, would you please turn to page 3, agenda. FY19 on the performance, also the performance by the segment, and also I'd like to cover the supplemental information. Actually, the memory is shared. Actually, even though it is prepared here, I'm not going to cover this. And also, following that, and I'd like to FY20 forecast. And also, lastly, I'd like to actually go through the Toshiba's new business segments with the specific data. And would you please turn 2 pages and moving on to page 5, please. FY 2019, the outcome. Actually, there has been some changes in terms of description. Core and operating profit and also an operating income are mentioned. Please pay attention to these two lines and below the sales. What is incorporating income or a loss? Actually, one and two, and actually structural reform and also the COVID-19 impact are deducted and from the baseline. And the one-time the effect, actually, what is going to be the scope of this? It's rather difficult for our customers to fully understand this. So point one is restructuring and cost, et cetera. And this is going to be referred to the special profit loss. Actually, 10.8 billion, and that's a negative number, you see. Majority of that actually comes from the restriction and the cost. And as to item two, and actually COVID-19 and impact, well, it goes without saying that actually COVID-19, of course, is going to have the major impact on FY19 and FY20 going forward. In order for us to fully understand the pure capabilities, actually, we excluded some of those impacts. And here now I'd like to go through the details on operating income and loss. There are some changes in descriptions, and please look at the fifth item from the right-hand side. Up and down, and then others. Well, for the past 1 year, we try to actually present to you details based upon our analysis of those factors. And we have realized that we have received some criticism that actually the way we have explained so far making it more difficult for you to better understand. So we are going to have foreign exchange and actually an ups and down axle and also fixed cost and items. Actually, they are going to be put into one genre, as you've seen here. Of course, as for the details of the major items, of course, we're quite happy to share the information with you going forward. Another important point is that IGN, DX, and others, this is an important portion for the entire Toshiba Group companies. Positive 7.5 billion yen, up by 5.5 billion yen from the February forecast. So, good improvement we are making since February. As for details, we are now working on the company-wide systems also. We are working actually and spend some time going back to the fact section of the stock markets. Actually, the cost in this genre has come down, making great contributions to the overall numbers. Moving on, page 7, please. This was already explained, so I'm going to omit it and to move on to the page 8 on non-operating income loss and expenses. Actually, 178 billion yen, quite a large number on the negative side. And as for details behind this number, please look at the notes right hand side. Actually, changes in equity and earnings from Kyokushin, and also then we suffered from the loss from the LNG transfer. Moving on, page 9, please. Cash flow for 2019, negative 264.7 billion yen, a negative side for FY 2019. You are paying more attention to this cash flows and situations and the in and the out. So actually, I am going to use page 10, extra page, to further explain the details. Free cash flows. The actually one-time factors are going to spread out. If in 2019, then central in the column, actually cash flow from we had a negative 264.7 billion yen for the free cash flows. As for details, please look at the left-hand side. Second restriction, LNG, the loss from the LNG, the divestment, and also the improving terms and conditions for the subsidiaries and others. So we went through this in the process and behind these numbers. Right hand side shows an EBITDA, cash flow from the operating activities. So the bridge information is given there. EBITDA, 210 billion yen. And from that number, then loss accumulated in the past actually is going to be realized in cash out. And also, the advance in the payment is going to come down in terms of the cash out and others. And all them put them together, it is going to be the operating cash flow of 59.8 billion yen. And others in the bottom actually negative the 30 billion. This is going to be pure ups and downs of the regular operating cash. We had to spend 30 extra billion yen in order to actually have the smooth operation.
I would like to skip 11 and move on to page 12. And I would like to make one comment. Please take a look at the asterisk 32, tax expenses of minus 35.2 billion. Even though we are actually in the red, we have to pay the tax of more than 30 billion. And in terms of non-consolidated companies, they have to pay tax. And also, in terms of the consolidated numbers, we do not recognize the tax impact. Therefore, we have to incur the tax expenses of minus 35.2 billion yen. And please turn to page 14, which is by segment. In FY19, in all the business segments, we were able to turn positive. However, when you can see the numbers right next to FY2019, which is the difference between the budget and the actual, you see the differences between segments. So I would like to focus on the highlights. Please turn to page 15, which is on energy systems and solutions. Say, around the center of this chart, you see thermal and hydropower systems, net sales, 222.5 billion, and operating income, positive 3.5 billion, which is in the black. But the difference is minus 57.2 billion yen, which is underperformance. What are the reasons? As you can see on the right, the profitability of overseas business deteriorated. Please turn to page 16, which is on infrastructure systems and solutions and building solutions. In this chart, when you look at the infrastructure systems and solutions, the net sales was 735 billion yen, and operating income was 47.7 billion yen. And we were able to outperform our initial plan. On the other hand, when you look at the building solutions, the initial budget has not been achieved. And 29.1 is the operating loss, and you see minus 6.9 billion against the budget. What is the reason? Thai bahts and other forex impact was 3.6 billion yen. And also regarding this area, in FY2019, we have been impacted by COVID-19, which was a negative impact of about 2 billion yen. And so in total, it is 5.6 billion yen regarding the impact. Please turn to page 17. This is on electronic devices and storage solutions. Regarding this segment, as compared to the beginning of the fiscal year, there was underperformance of operating income by 35.6 billion yen. As shown on page 14, which showed our plan back in February, and in February forecast, and the difference between that, it was about 15.6 billion yen. So as compared to February focus, there was a deterioration of about 15.6 billion yen. And 11.9 billion yen is related to COVID-19. And the remaining 3.7 billion yen, as you might remember, in January, semiconductor market was poised to recover. But nonetheless, we were impacted by COVID-19 and the market shrank. So in our previous plan, we believe that in February and March, the semiconductor market will revamp, and that was being impacted by COVID-19 as well. Please skip the next slide and look at page 19, which shows the orders received. In Q4, we trended very favorably regarding the orders received. So when you look at the right-hand side, which is order backlog, in December, when we disclosed a number, year-on-year, the increase was about 1%. But by closing the fiscal year, we were able to identify that the order backlog improved by 7% year-on-year. I would like to talk about the forecast for FY20. Please turn to page 23. As mentioned by Mr. Kurumatani, in FY20, upon coming up with its plan, we try to review the situation during global financial crisis. We try to match the current businesses on the right-hand side. So please take a look at this as your reference. Please turn to page 25. This is our business outlook. As you can see, a core operating income loss, ROS, is 6.9%, and we predict the core operating income to be 220 billion yen. And the COVID, as well as the restructuring cost of 9 billion and 20 billion are actually incorporated. And so there will be the operating income of 110 billion yen. And free cash flow will be minus 90 billion yen.
So going to page 26. This is the analysis of operating income. Just one point here. On this page, the sales changes are 19.4 billion. A positive factor is expected. That is increase and decrease in sales. At the beginning of the year, we expected the sales of 3.46 trillion yen. In comparison to fiscal 19, that is up by 70 billion. And based on that, the marginal profit rate would be about 20 billion or so. So as the sales increases, was higher. So concerning this factor, as you see on the right-hand side, due to the impact of the COVID-19, with lower sales, naturally, it would also go down. The operating income would go down. Please turn to page 27. This is a forecast by segment. So if you look at the core operating income, which is highlighted, in terms of core operating income in all segments, 6% or higher is achieved. But this is the core operating income. So in fiscal 2021, in terms of the operating income, we would like to achieve those numbers. On the right-hand side, far right, we are showing you the impact of the COVID-19 by segment. So those numbers are for your reference. Lastly, let me go to the new business segments. Just one page, page 31. Let me explain this. So this time, we are showing those new segments. And this is just an image of the forecast of those new businesses. The operating income and EBITDA, in order to achieve them, the SG&A and depreciation also need to be categorized. So based on our calculation, there is a sub-BU that is more than 50 sub-BU. And based on the sub-BU, we categorize them into the infrastructure services and systems and so forth. In each sub-BU, part of that could be infrastructure service or part of it could be devices. So this time, this is what we have as an image. So before November, we would scrutinize this and we would finalize it. And in November, as you see on the left-hand side, as a pro forma, we would show you the simulation. And this number, we would like to continue to use this, we would start to use it in a full-fledged manner in April next year. Thank you. That concludes my presentation.
Now we'd like to have questions and answer session. We'd like to have this kind of session on up until 3:15 and from the press people. From NHK, we have Inomata-san as the first questioner. Yes, this is Inomata from NHK. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir, we are hearing your voice.
Thank you for this opportunity. I have two questions. The first question concerns the impact from the COVID-19, 90 billion yen on negative side.
I think that is the forecast you are sharing with us. But by segment, I appreciate if you could further expand on the detailed explanations, what kind of impact by segment, if you could expand on that. Yes. In my presentation, toward the end of my presentation materials, and I touch upon this. This is the slide 20-something, 27. Please turn to page 27, and far right, and actually, the impact coming from the COVID-19 infrastructure and energy systems, the building and the retail printing. Those are the items mentioned there, and as you see there, the biggest impact is on the device and device and the device systems and solutions. Actually, we are having the weak business, particularly in the automobile business, and that has been the major the factor behind it. And then following that, the retail and the printing, well, 70 billion yen in revenue over the operating income, actually 21 billion yen on the negative side. Toshiba Tech company actually has announced its numbers already. This has been already explained. And 27 million yen has been the impact actually, and actually 6 billion yen actually was the number, and actually they were able to come back and recover. And actually, all in all, it was 21.5 billion yen. Following that, the building solutions. The building solutions, as you know, that is very well. This does include the elevators and the air conditioning and the lighting systems. In our commercial facilities, the so-called commercial facilities, and actually there is going to be the delay or the postponement of those the construction activities as well as the renewal activities could be further delayed. That said, in terms of percentage points, actually percentage-wise, actually it is going to be quite different from the percentage and impact we had back in the financial crisis. As I already explained this point earlier, actually it all depends upon the situations in each local community. So based upon the unique situations, we have come up with these numbers. And actually there will be no demand. There will be the delayed demand, even though there is going to be demand, but the construction may be delayed or the supply chain may collapse, so to speak. And because of that, our delivery in terms of supplies and could be further postponed. That's all for me. Thank you indeed. My second question, can I continue my second question? Yes, please go ahead. My second question, well, the telework, and I think is one of the important activities and you started for among your employees. This the working at home, well, teleworking, what kind of perception do you have vis-a-vis this latest trend? I think this is going to get extended as time goes on. This is Kurumatani from, and I'd like to respond to your question. The impact from the COVID-19 definitely, be it in a vaccine, and unless we have the really good drugs and to cure this the outbreak, I think it may take as long as 3 years. So I think we have to live with the coronavirus. And with that said, I think this if we allow the employees to stay at home and work for the company, I think that is going to be quite important. Actually, with the telecommuting, actually, we can actually go beyond the axis of time and space. Actually, we can actually have a good communications and dialogues, and actually looking at each other through the screens. So we can actually go beyond the physical the restriction. So this is actually giving us lots of the benefits, so to speak. Yes, COVID-19 definitely is forcing us to go through this changes as a new norm. And this this working at home or the telecommuting, this new scheme, I believe is going to be here to stay on a long-term basis. That said, internally within Toshiba Group companies, how we can actually position this on the temporary on a long-term basis. Of course, it's important for employees to come and report to the office, but I think we need to strike a good balance between between and coming to an office, actually in the telecommuting. Well, the overseas actually, you may be located in London and Frankfurt. Actually, in most of the cases, actually, they are working online. So we have actually having good benefits and out of these experiences, we are still studying it, how we can be benefited out of this new work style going forward. That's what we would like to do going forward. I think indeed. Are you satisfied with the questions, Mr. Inomata? Let us now move on to the second question. Utagawa-san from TV Asahi, please. Yes, so this is Utagawa from TV Asahi. Are you hearing my voice? Yes. Please go ahead. 3 working days in pro-week in this area, and I'd like to ask about how you're going to launch, start this, and what kind of preparation are you making, and what are the expected the benefits out of this 3-day working day per week? Well, 3-day working day per week, and we call it flex without a core. I think this is going to actually give us new opportunities working on the new working style. I think Keidanren actually is behind this important initiative, so to speak. And flex without a core, quote unquote, actually May 7th, actually on that, then actually we announced about this the initiative to launch, and also 3 working days per week. Right now, for your information, each business unit actually is considering how they can start this practice. So we are still studying it. Udagawa-san, are you satisfied with the answer? Well, 3 working days per week. What kind of expectations do you have in terms of benefits? Well, how that is going to impact the overall business performance? Well, yes, 3 working days per week. That means on a daily basis and probably working hours, and could be a little bit further extended. Actually, in substance, there will be no change on the side of the working hours and on the, on the plant and the facilities. So that's what I believe, what we call a square, quote unquote. But that said, for example, on the indent side, working places, and this may be matching with the current situations, versus when it comes to the mass production on the fields. In the past, we had lots of difficulties because they had to keep working on the working hours, and so it all depends upon what kind of the business operation you find yourself in. So we need to be quite flexible. I think top management of Toshiba need to talk to the field and our workers, and so that we can actually make them happy as time goes on. Thank you. Let us now move on to the next question. From Asahi Shimbun newspaper, and we have Koide-san. Yes, this is Koide from Asahi newspaper. Are you hearing my voice? Yes, please go ahead. I have 2 questions, and major 2 questions going to the Kurumatani-san. Well, core and non-core. You were explaining these 2 sets of numbers without COVID-19 impact. Actually, back FY23, the gap is going to become a lot more smaller, and then actually there the target is 10% becoming 8% in FY23. I wonder if you could further expand on how this gap is going to be made smaller as time goes on. Well, 7 points from me. Actually, we are in the process of improving ourselves because of the scandal we had. So we're somewhat unique and different compared with other businesses. Of course, when I joined the company, actually, we had lots of negative aspects. So the so-called cleanup operations on the balance sheet definitely is one of the important initiatives we had to work on. Board of directors actually have become kind of proactive and actually in the raising the restriction and cost so that this money is going to help us to actually make a good recovery as soon as possible. So we are still positive in actually allocating the cost for the restriction and effort. And when we have finalized the set of activities, and of course, there will be no further cost to be incurred. Without COVID-19, of course, it wasn't necessary for us to actually come up with a separate set of numbers. The structuring, excluding the structuring on our cost, core minus this, and it's going to give us the normalized the operating profit. However, now we're having this new phenomenon, COVID-19, coronavirus. The so-called normalized basis, well, back in the financial crisis, the Lehman crisis, actually, we had a major impact. And actually, in that process, we were affected all the certain time in order to go back to the normal situation. I think the same is going to be applicable to the current days when we're suffering from the COVID-19. So our tool capabilities need to be further improved. When we have reached the overall end-to-end normalized, then we should be able to actually enjoy a good performance capabilities. Actually, 260 billion yen is the planned for next year. And let's assume that there will be no impact from the COVID-19. And then the one-time cost, restriction on cost, without that, actually 260 billion yen operating income is going to be realized as we have forecasted. Well, this is still the pure assumption because I'm talking about the next fiscal year. So as time goes on, and our core number, actually operating income are going to be fit with each other.
So next plan started from FY19, and on top of that, you added COVID-19 as an impact, but by FY23, your actual and the objective will be on par, I believe. And I want to know why you can say so. There will be a delay in booking the figures depending on the transactions, but why do you think that you will be able to revamp by FY23 even with COVID-19? The assumption is that economic environment will normalize, and with the absence of COVID-19, the decrease of demand and also a slowing down of semiconductor market will not be there any longer. Therefore, those are the assumptions that we are making. I have another question. You mentioned about circular transactions about TCS. And you have been designated as a special precautionary stock in the market in the past. And some people in the market are pretty doubtful about the situation. So as the president, can you touch upon your outlook? In terms of our compliance, as I have mentioned before, it is more important than just generating profit from any particular business. Having said that, with the discovery of this problem, of course, we want to be listed in the first section of TSE again, but we believe that it is very important to fully disclose what had evolved at TESC. And because of that, we have to forego the planned relisting on the first section. I guess we have to just live with the reality. And we are very candid about this case about TCS, or TSC, rather. And when we apply for a relisting, of course, the status quo of our group company will be under inspection. So I understand that even given the backdrop of TSC, our application has been accepted, and I cannot talk on behalf of TSC, but as far as we are concerned, we will be awaiting for the response of TSC and also rectify the situation if improvement is being called for. And so there is no a single answer that we know for sure, but rather we want to tackle each and every problem as it arises. And I think that attitude is very important. Thank you very much. So, Okamoto-san of Yomiuri, please. I am Okamoto of Yomiuri Newspaper. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
You explained about the impact of COVID-19. And in FY20, I don't know whether you mentioned the impact on sales. And if not, can you talk about it? And at the very beginning, I did not hear your presentation due to the auditory problem. But in terms of this fiscal year's COVID-19, I understand that retail and the printing and device and storage will be impacted the most. But can you tell me the details of what will be the nature of the impact on these two businesses? Okay, I will answer that question. Maybe you were not able to hear my presentation, but if you can turn to page 27, you see the total number. So net sales impact will be 280 billion yen, and for operating income, there will be impact of 90 billion yen. And regarding device and storage solutions, automotive semiconductor will be impacted, and LSI and discrete are inclusive. And also, for consumer goods, hard disks, temporarily, there will be some sluggishness. Talking about retail and printing solutions, as you know, we provide office copiers and also commercial post-register equipments. Regarding post-register, we provide globally, and now there is no opening of new stores, and also the renewal of the stores are not happening because the stores themselves are closed. And we generate sales through maintenance services, but then the stores are no longer in operation. And regarding copiers, maybe it might be temporarily, but maybe it might have a longer-term impact. But because teleworking, maybe the copiers at the office will not be operated that long. So the running cost income will decrease. Did I answer your question? Yes. Thank you very much. I want to ask one more question to President Kurumatani. COVID-19 will impact your business results, and you have applied to be relisted in Section 1 of TSE in April, and I want to know whether COVID-19 will impact your application. Regarding COVID-19 impact and the review of TSE, of course, I don't know the details of what the TSE reviewers are doing, but I believe, generally speaking, that there is no direct relationship between COVID-19 and their approval mechanism. Thank you very much. Let's move on. Nikkei BP, Takano-san, please. I am Takano of Nikkei BP. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. About companies that are monitored. System LSI met the criteria, but it will be continuously monitored. Other than COVID-19, you mentioned about the impact of China-US trade friction, and this might not be a short-term impact. And regarding the friction between U.S. and China, I want to know what kind of impact it will have on System LSI and other businesses. Regarding System LSI, these are components for automotives. And globally speaking, there are different forecasts, but this fiscal year, the sales of automobile will go down by 15% or 20%, and some people, i.e. research entity, forecast more a decrease. And so either way, there will be a dip in the sales of automobiles. And the OEMs are purchasing our LSIs and other components to be built in their automobiles. So if automotive industry itself goes down by 20%, we will suffer the same. And the dip of 20% is very large a number. And so even though we try to reduce the fixed costs, we will not be able to make up for the reduction of sales by 20%. Regarding the recovery of automotives, people talk about 90% economic environment. That is to say, even though the economic environment revamps, it will go up only to the level of 80% of 90% as compared to the past. We provide components for automotives, and regarding our fixed cost, we should not assume business as usual, i.e. pre-COVID-19 time. So we want to align ourselves with the status quo of the market, and we are going to readjust our business accordingly. Takano-san, was it okay? Well, so I realize that you're talking about the overall impact of 19. But my question is, what is the risk that you factor in given China-U.S. trade friction? This is a very tough question. Short-term-wise, for example, in China, different IT systems are being built, and they use U.S.-made components to come up with China-assembled IT equipments. So even though they get our parts, maybe in China they cannot get other components that are required to finish a particular product. Or in other cases, the factory might be reallocated to a different location, and because of the disruption of the supply chain, there might be a risk of temporary change. And right now, the U.S. is being very aggressive, and if they come up with more stringent measures, we have to pay caution to what kind of impact that will have on Japan. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Tomioka-san from Toyo Keizai, and also Matsuni from Nikkei. I think these are the two people. Now, I'd like to share your thoughts. Then we'd like to close off on this conversation with the press people. Tomioka from Toyo Keizai. Are you hearing my voice? Yes, please go ahead. Earlier, and actually in a corner operating loss was unexplained, room for improvement, and also you also talked about volatility, quote unquote. The level of volatility, I think, and still seems to be quite high. And Kyokushin is one of the issues I think you have to address. Actually, you know, in the previous year, actually, in the sales of LNG and others. But again, all in all, again, on the looking at the ultimate profit and loss, whether or not that is going to actually, you know, be able to then absorb the volatility. Talking about the final profit and loss, as Kamo mentioned this point earlier, and actually, the actually, you know, of course, you know, we are here now to live with somewhat high level of the effective taxation. But again, for this the FY 2020, under I think, you know, the taxation level, I think it's going to come to the normalizing level. That said, we have to address how we can actually, you know, cope with the negative assets. Actually, Kyokushin actually was you know, acquired, and actually, you know, resulting in the 200 million, you know, more and the losses. Actually, in the second year, Kyokushin actually lost and actually came from then operations. Yes, we had really large scale the negative numbers, and the somewhat mild losses. So.
It wasn't a uniform situation. But again, for the FY 2020, I do not believe that the number is going to suffer from the major decline. In other words, with this point in mind, I think we should be able to enjoy a stable bottom line. And talking about the Kyokushin, as you know this very well, actually, NAND flash memory price, in the third quarter last year, actually, particularly moving into the fourth quarter, the price actually started going up. And the distribution actually is not, the volume did not suffer a lot. So all in all, actually, things are getting improved. Actually, demand for the data centers actually are going up globally. So this is another point on which makes us believe that the business opportunities here is going to get improved. So whether or not we'll be having the big volatility, and that is force us to suffer from the big loss in the bottom line. We do not have such an assumption. But going forward, and business portfolios actually are trying to push down the volatility. So with that point in mind, an ROE of the bottom line and another is actually in this regard, we have to make sure that we can actually get good opportunities for the growth. Thank you for that. Thank you. Let us now move on to the last question from Nihon Keizai Shimbun. Mr. Matsui, please. This is Matsui from Nikkei newspaper. Are you hearing my voice? Yes. Go ahead. COVID-19, of course, is given us teleworking opportunities, and here in Japan as well, and Toshiba, you are not exception, working incorporate this the work style. And of course, this may have impact on human resources evaluation. For example, Hitachi, for example, with teleworking introduced, and actually, there is going to be big changes considered and. Teleworking, the new work style is going to have what kind of an impact on your human resources evaluations going forward? Well, actually, we started this back in April, actually based upon what we call a job style. So actually, that has nothing to do with COVID-19. But again, we decided to go for evaluations based upon the true contributions coming from each one of the employees and of the companies. Talking about teleworking, as I mentioned this earlier, actually, for example, once in a week, they have a rule to have a meeting with the boss, and actually, they seem to have developed somewhat sophisticated models, so to speak. So we should be able to learn from those models and outside of Japan. So actually, here in Japan, HR side actually is paying more attention to those new systems, regimes. Actually, people concerned are working on the new designs. For example, you made a reference on Hitachi, the practices. We are not exception. It's time for us to make a good shift into the new systems. Well, thank you for that. The job style, job-based, the performance evaluation seems to be actually getting lots of traction from the COVID-19. I think this job style and approach could be getting more on the traction due to the COVID-19. What you said, I think, is right. Again, job style, meaning that actually we're going to just look at the real contributions, and we are going to have less face-to-face communication, and versus actually each individual employee is expected to actually bring about solid contribution. I think this portion is going to become a lot more visible. Job-based, job style, I think this style is going to gain lots of attraction more rapidly. So somewhat we have to be careful. So I think we need to strike a good balance among those approaches. Thank you. With this, we'd like to close off the Q&A session with the press people. Now we'd like to have a session with an analyst and institutional investors up until 3:45. J.P. Morgan Securities, we have Moriyama-san. Thank you. I do not appreciate any detailed explanations and responses. My first question actually is limited with the new segmentation. You'll be moving into this new segmentation and going forward more and more. But looking at the core business activities, definitely these core businesses seems to have a great potential moving on to the growth and opportunities. And definitely the core business segmentation seems to be quite an excellent idea, wise idea. Infrastructure services, and I think it accounts for 9% right now. But what was the peak margin number in the past? But another question is that going forward, profitability may go up. How do you feel about it? And with that point in mind, infrastructure or the services, particularly infra systems, within this genre, what is going to be the most important and how focus with this point in mind? If you can give me somewhat detailed breakdowns, and that is going to make me quite happy, please, to the extent possible. Infrastructure and services. Well, here in Japan, also in advanced countries, infrastructure and actual systems have been already completed. Of course, there have been efforts to build new infrastructure systems. But after World War II, we have been engaged in our business models and selling color TV sets. And also now we built power generation facilities. Actually, we had a big success. However, those facilities actually becoming quite obsolete in many locations, and some of the nuclear power facilities need to be scrapped. So with this latest situation, actually, we are enjoying good growth opportunities as much as 5%. So that said, it's important for us to increase the market share as surely as possible. And with this point in mind, M&A strategy is really quite important. And also, it's important for Toshiba to looking into the infrastructure systems and is built by the non-Toshiba corporations, we should be able to find opportunities in those areas as well. The fact is that the number of participants in this area is somewhat limited. Because of that, actually, it's been referred to as a captive marketplace. So once you are there, you're not going to be challenged much, so to speak. Right now, we keep an eye on the 10%, FY19, FY20, and actually FY20 is going to give us more profitability a little bit, and fixed costs and also the marginal cost needs to be further reduced, and that is going to enable us to increase our profitability. In order for us to grow the top line, I think it's important for us to the market share as surely as possible. So we believe so. We have to actually work on these two aspects to realize the growth going forward. Elevators, for example, and actually the multiple there is about 12x. But besides the elevators, we have other opportunities in terms of the multiples. Elevator is having a 12x or an higher. So I think this is going to benefit us as a whole. And I hope that analysts can appreciate this point I'm trying to explain to you.
Thank you very much. This is Kamo speaking. I mentioned about the track records, and you want to know about that. And if you can turn to page 31, you see the four-year ROS EBITDA for 2020 all the way up to 2021. And so I will try to fine-tune the numbers so that we will be able to officially disclose these numbers. Thank you very much. So from April next fiscal year, you are going to disclose your business results based on these four segments, and I want to know whether that is the case or not. And in terms of the segment, there will be four, or are you going to consolidate some of them? At this point in time, we want to disclose the numbers based on these four segments. We have to provide you with ROIC, and including a balance sheet, we will come up with the details and conduct the analysis. And if possible, we want to talk about how we promote the business, because the way we do so will change once we come up with these four segments. And we will design our organization accordingly using the next 6 months. Thank you very much. Did we answer your question? Let's move on. Merrill Lynch, Japan Securities. Hirakawa-san, please. Thank you very much for your presentation. My name is Hirakawa of Merrill Lynch. I have a question about the new business segments. So, as mentioned by the CEO, infrastructure services will be focused, and we have high expectations regarding this area. And you have infrastructure services, infrastructure systems, data services, and devices products. And regarding devices products, profit will be low, so that might be pulling the leg of the overall profit. Fujitsu actually divested their semiconductor business, and they are becoming pretty profitable. So I want to know, once you become the infrastructure-oriented company, how are you going to provide a benefit of devices and products as well as different components? And if you want to become truly infrastructure-oriented company, why do you focus on devices and products? Well, in terms of infrastructure and devices and products, as compared to data, which has 30% of the operating income, comparatively speaking, it is 10%. And we are going to laser focus on particular projects, and that will be the overall equation that we will pursue. As regards to devices for system LSI, we will be reducing our focus, and the other segments will be the focus. And regarding electronics, we do not have a major CapEx for battery-related business. And Japanese companies go for LCDs, and in the past, we have major CapEx. And semiconductor industry is not an exception. And Japanese companies invest cash, but does not generate a payback from that. And that was the risky business model that the Japanese companies have pursued in the past, and that is a lesson learned. Given that backdrop, we will play in niche segment. And so NAND flash-wise, it is deemed as non-core, and we have divested it. And talking about infrastructure systems, same equation applies. We want to focus on profitable project, and unless that is the case, there is no point in focusing on infrastructure system. When I joined Toshiba, infrastructure system was in the red, and right now it is in the black, generating a profit. But we cannot just stay put, but rather we need to increase the rate to 6%. And so fixed cost as well as marginal profit must be improved. And if we cannot improve these numbers, we have to divest and try to replace the portfolio by other businesses as well. So regarding these two domains, they are important, but we want to be selective. And unless we do so, as we have mentioned, they will pull legs, and our stock will be discounted. And so we need to maximize on the value of the totality. And that will be the path that we will be pursuing. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's move on. UBS Securities, Yasui-san, please. Thank you. I am Yasui of UBS Securities, and I have three questions. First question, you did not mention about the actual, and I understand that there might be some proposals because the market is keen on what will evolve. So if there is any information that you can disclose, we will appreciate it. And second, and the question is free cash flow. And 46 billion yen worth of subsidiaries have been divested. So I understand that your free cash flow improved. And when will be the timing in which you can turn black? And what will be the term in which you will be able to register surplus? Third question. Kamo-san, on page 27, you mentioned about the plan for each business at 2020. And in terms of a device, in terms of COVID-19, it will be positive 13, even with the backdrop of COVID-19. And in a device, what are the factors that will help boost the device business? First question, I will take the question. And so I know that Episimo is the major shareholder, and we are conducting communication with them. Other than Episimo, considering the expansion of TSR, I know that shareholders are interested in the business model that we have. And I know that investors have different interests, and therefore, regarding the communication with different stakeholders, I cannot give you the details. But nonetheless, we would like and to continue having very stable communication with major stockholders. And so this is Kamo speaking, and I want to talk about free cash flow. As I mentioned before, in FY20, free cash flow will be minus 90 billion yen. So 160 billion yen capex has been deducted, and free cash flow will be minus 90 billion. And so operating cash flow is 70 billion. And in FY20, from EBITDA, meaning from 195 to 70 billion, and so total 120 billion is outflow. And so loss profit making, we still have until 20, and we have the subcontractor related loss up until FY 2020, and also the tax impact will be there up until FY 2020. But by FY 2021, we believe that we will be able to complete the handling of these factors. So in FY21, the initial next plans, EBITDA of 340 billion yen will be our target. And free cash flow-wise, I believe that, we will be able to turn into surplus during that time. Another point about device. In FY20, regarding the increase of sales, one will be new flare technology. In FY19, there are products that have not been delivered yet. So we have semiconductor equipment that had to be shipped to China by March, but then we were not able to do so. So that will be included in FY2020. Now, talking about discrete, we are seeing a strengthening of demand. Therefore, we believe that the market will expand regarding discrete components. Now, about HDDs. Nearline HDDs for a data center, we are hearing many inquiries. And right now, regarding the parts as well as the factory operation, we are not operating at 100% capability, so we cannot meet the demand yet. So discrete new flare technology, HDD, and in particular nearline HDDs are the boosting effects.
Additional question. System LSI, your withdrawings from some of the products. Concerning that, How much is of the, what is the size of it? Could you talk about that? We are studying it right now, but as we explained, in the case of System LSI, profitable products and non-profitable products exist, so withdrawing from some of them, meaning through the negotiation with the customers, we withdraw from non-profitable or low-profitable products. So in some of the low-profitable businesses, to reduce the R&D and reduce the fixed costs. So those are the two methods to decrease the size. The size of the cells damaging 20 to 30% is not something that we expect, but it's not going to be a big impact. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next is Yoshizumi-san from SMBC Nikko. Thank you. This is Yoshizumi speaking. Can you hear me? Yes. Two questions. I think there was a question from the media, but I could not hear it very clearly, so it might be an overlap. But core operating income, how do you, should we understand the corona impact? At the end, 20 to 30 billion was the impact from COVID. And you mentioned that 70 billion is the delay due to the suspension of the operations in March. I understand that. But in the new fiscal year, 110 billion, sorry, the 90 billion, the COVID impact is expected. So in fiscal 22, this impact, do you think would be zero? The delay portion and the lower demand, how should we understand those factors? Yes, core operating income, before the COVID-19 normalized based, we had the details, and we have a very long-term businesses after receiving the orders, so we can forecast. So normalized base, for example, we had the forecast of the sales and so forth. And but with the COVID-19, what would be the declines that we would expect? We looked into the details for different businesses. So if you sum them up, you come up with this COVID-19 impact number that we have. So we can trace what happened to each business. So in that sense, from the original normalized based, what would be the impact of the COVID-19? And for example, 50% in the Q1 or second quarter. So we can measure that. So if we track them closely, ultimately, after showing this, if the demand does not recover, that is included in our COVID-19 impact. And if the demand improves, then our expectation, our actual would be better than our expectation and vice versa. So we have calculated this based upon our conservative view. So as for the fiscal 22, in Q4, about 20 billion is expected. But in Q1, Q2, Q3 of the next year, how much would that remain? We do not expect a major portion to remain. In that sense, at maximum, maybe one-third or 50% of the first year. If that is the case, that would be the major impact. So the economy probably will go back to the normalized base as we get used to the lives with coronavirus. So I think that is something that we need to scrutinize once again next year. Thank you. Second question. As Mr. Kurumatani mentioned on page 41, the synergies were explained, and it's very easy to understand. But at the same time, in the existing businesses, now we have it at the bifunctional view, and you explained this potential synergies. But I think those are the businesses that you had, and improving the valuation and generating the synergies. I think it's important to come up with a kind of a framework to generate the synergies, which was not discussed. So, for example, cross-functional organization activities so that you can generate synergies. Could you talk about that? Well, the services, business of services, the center of excellence, to go deeper into the services, to collect all the know-how from all over the world to improve the enterprise value. From that perspective, I think not many companies have that. So what we would like to do is to focus on the services. And the various know-hows are something that we need to incorporate. So for all the areas, we would like to apply that. So infrastructure services, that would be the center, and the other business divisions, infrastructure services is most profitable. So how do you build the infrastructure? What kind of devices should be there? Should we consider the data services? So kind of a center of excellence, the cross-functional, cross-business, horizontal is something that we are thinking about. So what should be the appropriate organization and what kind of people should be recruited? That's something that we are considering. But the new talents, well, already we have 10%, but to go to 13, 14, 15% and grow, I think that we need to go deeper in a dedicated way. So I think that's something that we are studying and considering right now. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Ezawa from Citigroup Global Markets. Thank you. This is Ezawa speaking. Can you hear me? Yes? Thank you. I have two questions. About the new segments, I have a question. Aside from the recent trend, in the long term, those new segments, you talked about the growth and also the, for example, the infrastructure services to improve the profitability is important for other infrastructure systems and devices and others. You are trying to improve the top line to increase the profit. It seems like that is your plan. Is that correct? And also related question, Mr. Kurumatani, the remote monitoring and also the robot were mentioned in your presentation. So the new areas where you can expect the demand, say that there's an opportunity to go into that. So remote monitoring and robots, are those will be included in the infrastructure services or systems? What is your view? That's my first question. The infrastructure services, 5% growth is in the market, and we'd like to grow higher than that. So players, there are not so many players, so the barrier to entry is not so high, is high rather. So increasing the marginal profit rate and try to improve the profitability is something that we plan to do. And as for the devices, as I mentioned earlier, it's not that we would do everything. To achieve higher profitability than the infrastructure service is very difficult to do. So we need to be selective with devices. So if we have to select the ones that we can generate profits. So say that the margin is 10%, And if the cash flow is sufficient, then we would go for the top line increase or growth. But like NAND flash, creating the huge business, and if all the investments go there, we don't want that kind of investment intensive. We don't want to repeat that. It would be very risky. So we like to be conservative and steady so that we can create the baseline. That is about the devices. So concerning or in services, and to have a highest growth, sorry, the growth rate is in the area of the data. And in the fall, I think we start to see the good results, and the high CAGR probably can be reported to you. So in terms of growth, data is the area that we can expect at the highest growth. So that's where we would like to grow.
Thank you for the response. And I have another question, if you don't mind. I think this is kind of follow-up on the question that you received earlier. Well, the changes in segmentations also on the core operating income actually were explained. And corporate value is the area now. Well, you have given to us some explanations. And actually, what kind of shifts you like to make coming into this corporate value? How specifically now are you going to execute your ideas? Whether or not you have a kind of the framework and for you to increase and raise the corporate value, and which would result in the specific numbers, Mr. Kurimatani, actually, the discount could be one of the factors actually in the eyes of investors, and actually, you are having this conglomerate or the set of business and operations. Whether or not this is going to result in a better multiple number, or do you have the set of the synergy the ideas and to be generated and among the affiliates within Toshiba Group companies? Well, of course, we are observing decline in the stock price. Yes, that's for sure. And for this matter, of course, we are causing some concerns, and particularly among our shareholders, and we have to address this. Of course, when it comes to the discount and issues, of course, and we are starting at a much deeper level. Actually, with too many segmentations, of course, and sometimes it's rather difficult for analysts to try to analyze in a solid way. And then you actually have given us the kind of negative the comments in regard to this having the too many segmentations. So with that point in mind, I think it's important for us to put things into perspectives, particularly from the value calculation. Here I'm talking about the profit, and the profit needs to be backed up with the quality and higher quality, and that is going to give us higher multiple numbers. So we're trying to understand where we're having the high quality on the profit, where we're having a less quality of profit. So we'd like to actually work on this scheme so that we can actually go for the higher quality in order to improve the true the better multiples. As you have raised in your question, actually, we have values and assets versus the value to be. So we have to keep an eye on assets as well as to be talking about a discount. To what extent we can actually narrow down the discount or the gap. My second point is going to be as follows. So, as has been pointed out, of course, just talking about those changes is not going to be good enough. We need to actually have the true center of excellence, and so that we can truly push on them as a true, strong pillar for us to be able to actually generate the much bigger profit numbers. So, with this point in mind, it's important for us to actually go through entire the businesses, actually from the viewpoints of the talents and other aspects. And I think Toshiba as a whole need to work on this kind of model.
we need to secure the good talents, and those talents should help us to move into those quality profit at much deeper level. And we are hoping that we can actually finalize our basic thoughts in around full time, so that we can actually start working on, we can start executing on those models and then quite early point in moving into the next year. I think this is going to make an analyst to appreciate, so to speak, whatever we are doing. So looking forward to receiving your advice. Well, thank you. Time is running out, and we have received several questions. But again, I'd like to ask the last person to give us the brief question. Circle Corporation, Wakabayashi-san, please. This is Wakabayashi, and thank you again for this opportunity. Well, new business segmentation, definitely I'm impressed with this. Toshiba IT seems to be weak in these areas, but again, you are putting a lot of emphasis on the infrastructure and services, and the CPS has been missing in the past. But going forward, why this infrastructure is going to be lucrative and going forward? Because there has been infrastructures and built in the past, kind of the seas, but now we are having the corona outbreak. So infrastructure and systems have been already introduced, and but again, you may be able to gain lots of tractions and coming into this area. But as time goes on, sooner or later, you may be suffering from the decline in the business performance. If you believe that you can make lots of profit and in infrastructure services, maybe you should actually put more efforts into this area versus how you feel about it. All in all, looking at the initiations in the past, again, you have set off customers. Probably from now on, the business style is going to be different. With the COVID-19, probably it will be less face-to-face in the communications, dialogues, and how these things may impact you. And another request is that, from me, is that, well, the freshwater and the switch, you seem to be quite strong. And also, you seem to be strong in certain verticals, and you seem to be somewhat weak in certain verticals. And if you could further expand on this, Mr. Wakabayashi, thank you indeed for asking your question. Well, that said, as far as we're concerned, infrastructure services to Toshiba definitely is going to give us higher profitability and opportunities. And also, we are offering the high quality in this area. I don't believe that profit we are making is way too good. But again, it is going to, this needs to be backed up in quality. And as long as there is a quality, we should be able to actually continue our services. As Wakabayashi-san, you pointed this out. Well, of course, we would like to actually further work on infrastructure and building efforts. For example, nuclear power facilities, for example, new power plant, whether or not there will be more constructions and one after another. The fact is that almost no opportunities in this year. And also thermal power generation, I think, is going to gain more attraction. And so this is the reality, thermal and nuclear, and to what extent actually we can extend our business and opportunities. I think it's got to be those businesses who have really good capabilities in building those facilities. If we stop the infrastructure and the building, of course, that is going to have impact on the services. So I think we have to strike a balance between these two types of operations. I think we have to pay attention to the quality and questions. So the balancing is going to be quite important. Actually, we would like to be kind of choosy and selective. There ought to be a good set of the demands coming from the customers. And also, we should be able to actually leverage in high levels of engineering capabilities. I think we need to have all these ingredients for us to be more profitable from now on. Thank you indeed. Thank you. With this, we would like to close off the online session. Starting at at 4 p.m. Now, I would like to actually respond to some of the questions we have received in advance and from analysts and institutional investors. Mr. Kamo is going to be responding to these questions, so please be patient. Thank you.
I would like to take questions from the analysts and investors, and we have already received questions from them, so Mr. Kamo will respond to those questions, and we plan to end this session at 10 minutes past 4. So first, we have a question from Moriyama-san from J.P. Morgan. I would like to read out the question. First question is, first of all, looking at the overall orders received in fiscal 2019, could you tell us the major items of the orders as well as the percentage of different segments and lead time before booking the sales and improvement of the profitability? That's the question. Thank you. First of all, concerning the overall the orders received in fiscal 2019 as a group, if you look at the page 19 of the business results presentation material, if you look at this, especially the energy solution is growing the most. And in terms of the group, the energy solution and the infrastructure solutions are growing, especially the energy solutions. The orders in fiscal 18 was relatively low, so the growth is very conspicuous. As for the specific or major projects or major items, including services, the thermal power plant in Goi is one major item. And the lead time before booking the sales, it's difficult to say. But service-related orders, the components, it's several months to 6 months. But if it's the turbine or major equipment, it's 1 year to 18 months. And if it is the installation, involving installation like EPC, it's 5 to 6 years is the lead time. And profitability overall is the middle of the single digit or a little bit lower than that has been the improvement. And when we receive the orders, the gross profit is being controlled very strictly. So the improvement of that leads to the future operating income, operating margin. The second question is about the January, March time frame. The same question about focusing on the January to March. As for the orders, if you refer to page 34 of Mr. Kurumatani's presentation material, has been the growth of 14% year on year. And the biggest, big ones, for example, including the renewables, the geothermal power plant in Ethiopia, and in Miyagi Prefecture, Onikobe Power Plant. This is a geothermal power plant. And also, the included renewable energies to the T&D distribution, the energy aggregation business, the orders are increasing. Now, in infrastructure solutions in Bangladesh, the Dhaka City High-Speed Railway, the regenerative energy storage equipment, this is to save energy. So the energy when the train stops will be converted as energy. So this was the order that we received from Bangladesh. And the lead time and profitability improvement, throughout the year last year, I think the situation was the same. So single digit or middle of the single digit, a little lower than the middle of the single digit, that has been the improvement of the profitability that we realized throughout the year. The third question is about the future. What are the areas and the regions that will be focused upon in terms of receiving orders? Now, in the energy infrastructure, the on-demand response and energy management, including the renewables. Those are the new areas that we can have high expectations from. And also, in addition to the major power source, we also expect to see the increase of the distributed power source. In the social infrastructure, it is not the new infrastructure systems, but rather services. So, for example, in the social infrastructure, the operation and the maintenance of the facilities, and to provide the services for the whole system, that is a comprehensive contract, and also providing solutions to solve the social issues, for example, infrastructure becoming obsolete and to mitigate a disaster. So those are the demand that we expect in relation to the climate change and so forth. Thank you very much. Those were the questions that we received beforehand. There was only one person who asked the question that we received beforehand, and with that, we'd like to end this session. Thank you very much for staying until the end.